My life reveals itself from the invisible to the visible. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. It's understandable the Absolute Philosopher would think in the Absolute. And it's understandable, thinking in the Absolute, you say, my life reveals itself from the invisible to the visible. All is, all things exist. There's nothing that has not been created or fulfilled that ever could be created or fulfilled. It all exists. But it exists in an invisible state. it exists in a state of, undifferentiated matter. That's a good term, undifferentiated matter. It has not yet been revealed into the pattern that it can be. So, my life reveals itself from the invisible to the visible. Every thought I think is invisible. Every dream I have is invisible. Every piece of imagination I have is invisible. Every word I speak is invisible. Whatever we do, it's invisible. And the visible is such a minuscule portion of the whole thing that it's really quite something when you think about it. The visible is the smallest portion of all that is. Because all that is far exceeds anything that is. All that is exceeds anything that is. So, when you realize that matter is undifferentiated and everywhere, just waiting to sort of drop into the form or the mold that we give it. And if we give matter a mold that says ancient history, then we got ancient history. We take people like Burns, who took Civil War and took the old pictures, actual pictures of the Civil War, actual pictures of the people who were in the Civil War. And he made the pictures come alive. He made the pictures come alive by looking at them and then having his camera move in on a close-up, or moving over to one side of the picture, moving over to the other side of the picture. You almost thought the picture was moving. You almost thought that the things that were going on in the picture were real. And of course, when you come to that, then you come to Harry Potter. And remember the newspaper that Harry Potter read? Harry Potter's newspaper was, you open the paper, and here you can talk to the people in the pictures in the paper. and all the activities that are going on in the paper. And if you wish, the paper will read itself to you. Or it'll turn into a motion picture for you. And some of the people are so, what would you say, flamboyant or self-confident, that then when they look out of the picture at you and they say, hi, how are you today? You know, nice of you to look at this picture and look at me. You know, and how can they do that? You know, well, it's fiction, but it's not really fiction. It is what the mind is conceiving and what the mind is believing and what the mind is coming up with. Now, let's just look at that for a second. Here we have a lady who is just an ordinary lady. I believe she was a school teacher. And she started telling stories to her kid about the wizards, about Harry Potter. And she wrote it down, and it was okay. No big deal. And then her friends looked at it and said, wow, that's neat. Let's get that published now. And so they got it published. So then she wrote more, and she wrote more. Now, you tell me, if you're so bright, tell me, where did she go? What library did she go to? What what bookstore did you go to, what theaters did you go to see all this film stuff, all this story about Harry Potter and the development of Harry Potter, how he thinks, how he acts, how, and the crazy stuff he does. And some of it, you know, we haven't perhaps read before. But it's unique, beautiful, and rather remarkable stuff. Where did this woman, who is less than middle age, she's 30, 40, somewhere there, and she's got a daughter in school, and she writes this stuff. Where does she get it? Where does she tune in to this? There must be some universal bank of knowledge that she's tuning into, the one mind, you know. And so you're in that one mind, you know, you're just as much in there as she is. Why didn't you do something like that? Because you're doing something different. And also, because you're saying, I've got a cold, oh, I had a bad tooth, oh, I had this, that's past. That's past. Now, if you are saying Harry Potter's got that or something like that, then that's a little different. It's still past. But what did this woman write about Harry Potter? She told about this little boy who had a kind of a tough upbringing. In fact, kind of tough. My goodness sake, it was really tough. His mother's sister's husband put him in a closet underneath the staircase because he wanted to have control of him. And he took him out of his bedroom and did this. Harry could do everything, you know. And so he controlled him, and he thought he controlled him. But Harry was told not to do magic at home. And, of course, for a wizard not to do magic at home, it's like saying, and don't breathe. You know? That's a tough thing to do. But anyhow, Harry did many wonderful things, even under the circumstances. And the beautiful thing of the whole book, books, was the fact that Harry remained modest and humble and a good boy. You know, and through all that he faced and all that he did and all the talents that he had, he remained humble. And his friends were pushing him into doing things, you know. But he still made his own choices. Now, you see, when we realize my life reveals itself from the invisible to the visible, when we realize that, then we know where Harry Potter came from. The invisible awareness that this woman had and how she could tune into it and how it just flowed because she was in the mode. And then they made motion pictures out of it and they did all these other things. I mean, like all these things that come up. You see, it's invisible first. And everything you want or think or are or whatever, you're invisible first. And then you become visible only by you're paying attention to it. You're invisible first. And you become visible only by paying attention to it. My cold, my headache. I'm whole and perfect. Same thing. What do we want to pay attention to? And where do we want to put our enthusiasm? And where do we want to put our drive? And where do we want to put our result? What do we want to reveal? The term here is a good one too. My life reveals itself from the invisible to the visible. My life reveals. It's already there. It's merely being revealed in a physical form. Okay. If this is something that interests us, then it's up to us to either open the door and let it out, or keep the door closed and pretend that it's not there. And so many people pretend that it's not there. They pretend that circumstances are not there. But how can you think of it if it's not there? If you can think of it, it's got to be there. You can only think of things that are. And you say, well, you mean I'm limited to only thinking things that are? No. Anything that you want to think already is, and it's not a matter that it ain't or it will be, but it's already there. And everything you think already exists. So let's reveal it. Let's manifest it out of the invisible with the undifferentiated matter of the universe and let it form into that pattern of visibility that we want to experience. And you know, you can have the most beautiful house in the world, and a second later, it's not there. What once was a beautiful house, a beautiful place, and seconds later, it's not there. And the most tragic reflection of that is the Twin Towers. An airplane hit, and boom, the whole tower was down on the ground. This, how many stories tall was that? I don't know the number, but I mean, let's say 50 stories, 60 stories tall, whatever it was. And shroom! I mean, who could have ever dreamed that a structure so magnificent and so strong and so whatever and so big that in an instant, poof, it's a bunch of dust. And not only one, two of them. Yeah. What an amazing thing. Now, it just tells you that if you think, and if we just have one person think it, but if we had everybody thinking it, that, who's that magician? Do you think people believe David Copperfield's illusion of disappearing railroad train? Yep. Then he brought the railroad train back again. He brought the illusion back again. Poof! Now, David, Twin Towers, poof! Up they are again. Perfect. And then no one would have any reason to have this terrorist attitude going on. The terrorists have no touch over you. And they have no touch over you because you can go poof, and whatever they want to unpoof, you just poof and it's back. Now you say, Herb, that is silly. No, that's what it is. That's what it is. Now, you, in your insignificance in consideration of the whole, our insignificance in consideration of the whole, the little things that we deal with are so insignificant, so unimportant, so really nominal. If we were just to give a little bit of our power to divine order for the little things we're dealing with. Sylvia's reading all about these voice-activated computers, which come out in printed type. You know, nice story. But poof, do it. Now, is it already perfected?
Yes.
It is fantastically perfected. It is not a matter that, like years ago when we got the voice-operated things, they didn't work perfectly and you had to really talk to them and you had to speak. I now am telling you what my thing is, you know, and you had to be consistent like that or else it wouldn't understand. But the very fact that it could understand even that was a big step. And then people released it and released it and released it, and if it is, as Sylvia says, as competent as that, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. But that's nothing. That's nothing. We should be able, as Ellen says, think our thoughts and have the computer print them out, you know, or a finished book and carefully edit it beautifully like we would like it. And, hey, if you can think today the book that you want. And then you can think today the book is already done, already at the publishers, already proofed, already in perfect condition, done. Not bad, huh? No computer, no middleman. It's just from your mind to the printed page and then to the printed book. Now, does that sound so foolish? It sounds difficult for us to conceive that now it's done, but hey, there is only now. And if you're going to say it's going to take you 2 more years before that perfects itself to that, well, that's now. That's now. Let's live in that aspect of the nowness. When you are living 2 years from now, and that thing is done, and you see it done, and you use it, and you say, this works very nice. You don't say, 2 years ago when I wished it was there and wasn't there, it wasn't there, but now it's here. You know, because you don't think back that way. You always think in the now. So let's think in the now that every single thing that is invisible, that we would like to have visible, is visible. Now, to be sure, you don't want everything visible. If everything were visible, this would be quite a crowded place. And it would be a very interesting place, but it'd be very crowded. So let's recognize that the truism of this. My life reveals itself from the invisible to the visible. And it's just an obvious statement, because I think my thought, and then it results in a fact, results in a manifest form. That's what we do. That's the way it works. That's kind of wonderful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is the Absolute Philosopher. And the Absolute Philosopher gets us to think about things and bring things forward into our mind, into our experience, into our hearts, into our lives that are pretty exciting, pretty wonderful. So think on these things and know that whatever you want to dream about, whatever you want to think about, it's done. Now. Have a nice day. And know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.